ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनाधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः.
So we're going to be starting a new text today, the Mundaka Upanishad. The Upanishads are all located at the end of the Vedas. There's four Vedas. And so each given Upanishad will belong to a particular Veda. The Mundaka Upanishad belongs to the Atharva Veda. So does the Mandukya, I think the Prashna also belongs to the Atharva. The Shantipata that goes along with Upanishads that come from the Atharva Veda is this Bhadram Karanebis, which we're going to be learning today. When we did the Kathopanishad, that was Sahanavavatu. We also use Sahanavavatu generally, as a general prayer. If we're doing a Prakarana Granth or some other text like Atma Bodha, we'll usually do Sahanavavatu because it's so nice and it kind of short and tells exactly what we really want, which is for this vision there be no enmity between teacher and student, so that this vision, and that we're healthy and strong and our minds are bright, so that this vision can take place. Every Veda will have a Shantipata that goes with it. So this Bhadram Karnebhi is the Shantipata that goes with the Atharva Veda. These are always chanted at the beginning of any special event, but or any study, but now it's particularly chanted before the study of an Upanishad. Right? So this comes along with the Upanishad. And so that means that when we look at what the Shantipata actually has to say, it's going to, and the blessing that it's asking for, it's in reference to the study that we're about to undertake, and so that's how we'll be interpreting it. So, before I start talking about the Mundaka, let's take a look at this Shantipata. And I want you to notice, for those of it that don't know this, that if you look either in the Sanskrit or in the transliteration, there are horizontal lines between some of the underneath some of the letters. You see that? And above some of the letters, there are vertical lines. These are what we call swaras, and they tell you exactly what the tune or what the chant is going to be. And so there's basically three tones. The line, if there's a horizontal line underneath, that's the bottom tone. If there's no line, horizontal or vertical, that's a middle tone. And if there's a vertical line, that's the high tone. Right? And so those will help you in being able to follow the way that I'm chanting this. Okay? So try to repeat after me, and then we'll go through and I'll tell you the meaning. All right? And eventually we'll learn this and memorize it. Just like we memorized Sahanavavatu and Purnamadav, this one also, then we should learn it by heart. Okay, so. Om Bhadram Karne Bishvanuyama Devaha. You know what I'll do? I'll chant all the way through, and you just follow. And then we'll go through section by section, and we'll work on it every week. Om Bhadram Karne Vishvinuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashe Makshabir Yajatraha Stirairangai Istushtuvagum Sastanubihi Vyashe Madevahitang Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha Swasti nastarksho arishtanemihi, swasti no brahaspatir tatatu, om shanti shanti shantihi. So repeat after me. Just follow the best that you can.
Mm-hmm.
Om Bhadram Karne Bish. Just repeat after me. Om Bhadram Karne Bish. Om Bhadram Karne Bish. Shrinuyama Devaha. Shrinuyama Devaha. Bhadram Pashe Makshabir Yajatraha. Bhadram Pashe Makshabir Yajatraha. Stirai Rangai.
Stirai Rangai.
Stushtu Vagum Sastanubihi.
Stushtu Vagum Sastanubihi.
Vyashema Devahitam.
Yashema Devahitam.
Yadayuhu.
Yadayuhu.
Swastina Indro.
Swastina Indro.
Vriddashravaha.
Vriddashravaha.
Swastina Pusha.
Swastina Pusha.
Vishwavedaha.
Vishwavedaha.
Swasti Nastarksho.
Swasti Nastarksho.
Arishta Nemihi.
Arishta Nemihi.
Swasti No.
Swasti No.
Brahaspatir Tathatu.
Brahaspatir Tathatu.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
So, Om. Om always will start any Shanti Pata. You don't have an Om there starting this?
No. Not in the book.
Oh, okay. Well, I have it. Normally, you should start it with Om. And Om is considered, you know, the whole Mandukya Upanishad is written on Om. So it's the most sacred syllable. The syllable Om includes in it the entire vision of Vedanta. The entire nature of reality is included in Om. So sooner or later we'll teach the Mandukya Upanishad and unfold this. Let me just briefly tell you, when you chant the word Om, there's a couple of things to notice. First of all, when you say the word Om, it's coming out of silence and resolving into silence. If we look just at the sound, Om comes from silence and resolves into silence. See that? Om, silence. Om, silence. Om, silence. The silence is Brahman. The silence is the absolute reality, the silent Satchidananda, the silent being of yourself. The letter Om is made of three syllables, A, U, M. The A stands for the manifest creation. The U stands for the subtle creation. The M stands for the causal creation. Right? So the whole universe, if you think, there's Brahman, the conscious being, which is pure being, silence, undifferentiated, pure consciousness. From that pure consciousness, this creation comes, is sustained, and resolves. So if you think of the letter, that word Om, being composed of these three letters, A, U, M, where the A is the manifest creation, the U is the subtle creation, M is causal, then when you're saying Om, in your mind, once this association is properly made, then you recognize by the word Om, Brahman, you know, which manifests as the entire infinite creation, and into which the entire infinite creation resolves. So now this Om, because this one syllable, you know, encompasses really the teaching of the entire Veda, right? It's considered, it has its own name, Pranava. It's considered the most sacred syllable. And so most chants, before you chant, you will always start the chant with Om. So now, Om, Bhadram Karnebihi Shrinuyama Devaha. Devaha is a vocative case. It means, O God. It's addressing all of the deities. Shrinuyama, may we hear Karnebihi, with our ears, Bhadram, Bhadram, that which is auspicious. Bhadram, that which is auspicious, Karne Bihi, with our ears, Shrinuyama, may we hear, let us hear, with our ears, that which is auspicious. And addressing the devatas, all of it, the deities. So here, the teaching is about to begin, right? The Upanishad is about to begin being taught. And so when you say, well, now in this context, when you say, we're praying to the deities, may this teaching, you know, that is going to be coming to us, may the auspiciousness or the blessing of this teaching come through. May the mind have the Shraddha, the proper attitude, everything that's necessary to let the words that we're about to hear bless us. Okay? So, Bhadram Karne Bihi Shrinuyama Devaha, Bhadram Pashema, if I break the Sandhi, Bhadram Pashema Akshabihi Yajatraha. Now it's addressing the Yajatras. The Yajatras are the ones, the gods who are the protectors. I finally found a commentary on this. Swamiji also talks about this. The Yajatras are the ones who protect those who are praying to them. So if a Yajamana or somebody is doing a ritual to the gods, the Yajatras are the ones who receive that and protect the ones that are praying to the devas. Those are the Yajatras. So it's another name for the gods. The ones that are hearing our prayer. May, O Yajatras, you devatas that are hearing our prayer, you know, may you protect us. So those people are being beckoned here. Bhadram Pashema Akshabihi. Bhadram is everything which is good for us, that is auspicious. Pashema, may we see Bhadram Akshabihi with our eyes. May we see with our eyes that which is auspicious. What would we be seeing with our eyes is Ishwara. So may we see this entire creation as Ishwara. That's when we take it on a total level. Because what this vision has to give you is that this all is Ishwara. That this whole is Ishwara. This whole is the Lord. So when we look out with our eyes, may we see Bhagawan. May we see Ishwara. That which is most auspicious. That which is most auspicious is Bhagawan. So may our eyes see Ishwara. And this is what we are hearing from this teaching. On an individual level, may we see what is Bhadram. May we see the good in others. Swamiji does a beautiful unfoldment on this. When we look at others, may we see their good qualities. May we focus on the good qualities in others and the good qualities in all beings. Which means that also we have to focus on the good qualities in ourselves. So that we can focus on the good qualities in others. So that's on an individual level. On a Sameshti level, on a total level, may we see everything as Ishwara. Okay? So Pashema means may we see. We should see, we need to see Bhadram, that which is auspicious, with our eyes, invoking the Yajatras. Then, next section, I'll break the sandhi. Stirahi Angaihi Tushtuvamsaha Tanubihi. This is actually half a sentence, but I'll work my way through to the other half in a minute. Angas are limbs, stirahi angaihi, with limbs which are strong, stirahi angaihi, with strong limbs, means like hands, legs, etc., our limbs, our physical limbs, stirahi angaihi, tushtuvamsaha, praising, means praising, we'll see in a minute, but just praising, with strong limbs, tanubihi, and strong bodies. The tennis is the physical body. The limbs are the limbs and the whole physical body. So with our limbs and with our limbs and with the physical body, praising, Now, go to the next part. Vyashema devahitam yadayuhu. Okay? Vyashema means one way of taking it is, may we be engaged in, may we follow. Devahitam, that which is hitam, good or beneficial for the devas, for the gods. That which the gods approve of. It's another way of saying, may we follow dharma, or may all of our actions be pleasing to Ishvara. You know? Sometimes even if you were to pray for what you want the most in your life, in terms of antakarana shuddhi, in terms of purity of mind, one way you may pray for that, you may find yourself, I've already find yourself having prayed in this way, may all of my actions be pleasing to you, be pleasing to Bhagavan. May all of my everything that I do be pleasing to the Lord. That's devahitam, right? So vyashema, may what I be engaged in, yad ayuhu, my entire life, ayusa's life, may I be engaged in for my life that which is devahitam, that which is pleasing to the gods. Praising the gods, or praising Ishvara, praising means that appreciation, right? A praise is appreciation. Appreciation, appreciating Ishvara, this infinite manifestation. The one way of saying appreciating Ishvara, praising Ishvara, may all of my actions, the actions of my body and of my limbs, right, be something which is pleasing to Bhagavan, pleasing to the gods, or pleasing to Ishvara. The gods, the devas are all aspects of Ishvara. Right? So there's only one Ishvara, but then Ishvara is manifest in many, many, many different ways. And so we can pray to all of the different aspects of Ishvara for special purposes. Right? So, like you would pray that if you're sailing and you want some wind, you would pray to the wind, the Lord of the Wind. Right? Now the Lord of the Wind is one of Ishvara's capacities. Right? But you would pray to Vayu, that is the Lord of the Wind, you know. If your crops are dry, you know, there's no water and the crops aren't able to grow because there's no water, you might pray to Vadana, the Lord of the Waters. You're praying to Ishvara, but you're praying to a particular aspect. You might, if you're trying to accomplish something and you're just hit with one obstruction after another, you know, you might pray to Ganesha, the Lord Ganesha, because he's known for removing all obstacles. So you're praying to Ishvara in this form. You know, you can do this. Remove these obstacles for me, please. Bring the rains, please. But so when we're saying praying to all of the devas, you can think of those as all aspects of Ishvara. So my whole life, may all of my actions be pleasing to Bhagavan, and may my life be one of praise to the Lord. Then, swasti na indro hridashravaha. See the word swasti, then at the bottom there's one dadatu, at the fourth line before the Om Shanti Shanti, there's one word dadatu. That dadatu is going to go all the way through now. That means here, like swasti, means that which is well-being. Swasti is well-being. Swasti naha is us. Indra vridashravaha. The Lord, Indra is an aspect of, it's one of the devatas, and an aspect of Ishvara is Indra. May Indra of renowned fame, vridashravaha, because Indra is one of the major deities under whom are a lot of other deities. So may Indra, who is of renowned fame, give us swasti, give us well-being. Swasti naha indraha vridashravaha. Swasti naha pusha, swasti naha pusha vishwavedaha. May Pusha means the sun, who is the great nourisher. It comes from the root push, which means to nourish. Pusha means the sun, and the sense of the sun is the nourisher. Who is Vishwavedaha, who is omniscient, the one who knows everything. The sun is often used for Bhagavan, for Ishwara, because the sun lights up, right, everything. And so like that, Ishwara lights up everything. So sometimes Ishwara is worshipped as the sun. So may Ishwara, who is the great nourisher, who is Sarvajnaha, all knowledge, may that Ishwara give us, in the form of the sun, give us swasti, give us well-being. Then, swasti na swasti naha tarakshaha arishtanemihi. Tarakshaha is a name for Garuda. Garuda, who is a huge bird in the Ramayana who flies through the air. Garuda. Arishtanemihi is taken to mean that which, when flying, when moving, has no obstructions. So may, like Garuda, flying through the air with no obstructions, no boundaries, has no boundaries, may that Garuda give us swasti, right? So one thing Swamiji said in his unfoldment of this is just as Garuda can go through, fly, without any obstructions, may Garuda bless us with that capacity in the gain of this knowledge. May we just fly through the air. May nothing come to obstruct us in our gaining of this knowledge. Then, swasti naha, again, brahaspatihi dadatu. May brahaspati give us well-being, the swasti. Brahaspati is the teacher of teachers. He's the lord of the intellect. And so may our intellect be bright. May we be able to understand these words so that this knowledge can bless us. So here, then, Om Shanti, 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 the three Shantis. The Shanti means peace. It also, Shanti also means Nivritti, getting away from something, some obstructions. That's that which removes obstructions. So the three Shantis are said to remove the obstructions from what we call Adhidaivika, Adhibhautika, and Adhyatmika. Adhidaivika obstructions are those obstructions that we have no control over. They're removed from us, like natural and like earthquakes and thunderstorms and things of fate that we can't control. So we pray to the Devas, please control those things for us. Right? Let those keep those things away from us so that they don't come and interfere with our gaining of this knowledge. And then Adhibhautika, those are things that are closer to us than Adhidevika. Like, for instance, driving here and running out of gas, or some obstruction that stops you from being able to, that's more local, that stops you from being able to gain this knowledge. And adhyatmika has to do with your own person. Yeah, illness or something physically happens to you or mentally happens to you or something in regarding your own person comes and obstructs you. So these three, from these three things, it kind of covers all of the possibilities. May there be peace. May there be a nivritti, a keeping away of any obstructions around these things. So we say the Shanti three times. You know, Swamiji goes into a nice unfoldment about that, so you'll enjoy reading it. Okay, so let's just, with understanding this meaning, just again repeat after me. Om Padram Karne Vishnu Yama Devaha. Om Padram Karne Vishnu Yama Devaha. Padram Pashe Makshabir Yajatraha. Padram Pashe Makshabir Yajatraha. Stirairangai Stushtubagum Sastanupihi.
Shivadim Sastanubihi
Yashema Devahitam Yadayuhu
Yashema Devahitam Yadayuhu
Swastina Indro Vriddashravaha
Swastina Indro Vriddashravaha
Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha
Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha
Swastina Starksho Arishtanemihi
Swastina Starksho Arishtanemihi
Swastino Brahaspatir Tatatu
Swastino Brahaspatir Tatatu
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
So the Mundaka Upanishad, in terms of its the name, the word Mundaka means Munda Na, it's a lingual na da Mundaka. The Mundaka means a head, the head. And so in the Atharva Veda there's a ritual that's done where the person who's doing the ritual carries on their head a pot of flaming embers. Right? And this brings to mind the story that's often told in terms of a mumukshu as one whose head is on fire. How one whose head is on fire will run to the ocean, like that a mumukshu will run to this knowledge. So that's one of the associations that the Mundaka has, the Mundaka Upanishad. Another is, for the Mundaka, for the head, for the sannyasi, the head is always shaved, mundana. Mundana means shaved head. So the head which is shaved is sometimes thought of in terms of the Mundaka Upanishad, because this knowledge is meant for really the one who has the sannyasa vritti. Not necessarily having taken sannyasa, right? But that vairagya, that dispassion has got to be there in order to even bring about the mumukshutvam, the desire for liberation. And so these two meanings are associated with the Mundaka, when we say the Mundaka Upanishad. It's, again, it's a part of the Atharva Veda. Okay, so in an Upanishad, either Shankar will do this or you'll find it in the initial verses of the Upanishad, there has to be something that will entice a person who is qualified, a qualified seeker, to want to study this particular text. That's true for any text, in fact, or for any subject matter. First of all, for a given subject matter, you have to know who is that subject matter or that text or the text meant for? Who is it meant for? That's called the adhikari. The adhikari means who is the one who's the qualified student for this particular study? Who's the study meant for? The other thing you need to know is what is the subject matter of the text that's going to be studied. If you don't know who the text is meant for and you don't know the subject matter, there's not going to be really any pravritti, any impetus on your part. So you need to understand also what is the subject matter of the text. That's called the vishaya, is the subject matter. Okay? Then another thing you need to know, you need to know what's the purpose of studying it. What do I get out of it? If I study all of this material, learn all of this, what will the result of that learning be? What is the pala? Right? It's called prayojana or pala. What is the result? What is the purpose? What do I get from this endeavor? Okay. That I need to know. And then I also need to know, all right, There's the adhikari, the qualified student. This is the subject matter of the text. And this is what I will get out of it if I study it. But then I have to know what we call the sambandha. What is the relationship to that subject matter, right, the subject matter itself, and the result? In other words, like for instance, if I study a cookbook, say I study a recipe, and in fact the recipe, and along with many paragraphs, is very detailed about how to make this particular dish, and so I study it very, very carefully. Then what? What is the relationship between that study, right, and what I want to get out of it? Because what I really want to get out of it is a good meal, right? And so now that means that there's a particular relationship between studying the recipe and having the meal. And one thing we know for certain is that studying the recipe will not produce the meal. Studying the recipe will tell me clearly what to do and with what ingredients, right, by which I can then do some activities to produce the meal. So now I need to, before I get involved in all this, I need to know. I study this, then what do I do? Right? I study this, then what happens? What's the relationship between the study and the result? That's called the sambandha. That means the connection. So there's different in this, there's going to be different types of connections. Like, what is the connection, for instance, between the studying of the book and the gaining of the knowledge of the book? What does the book do in reference to the, how does it give me, does the book itself give me the knowledge that I want to give, to get? And then there's a sambandha between, if I get the knowledge, what is the connection between the knowledge that I get from studying the book, for instance, what is the connection between the knowledge and what I want to get from the knowledge, right? So now in this case, what I want to get from the knowledge is liberation, right? So then I need to know, it has to become clear to me, what is the relationship between the knowledge that I get and the result that I want, which is liberation, right? And so all of these connections, what we call these factors, these fourfold factors, have to be taken into consideration. It doesn't really matter what the subject matter is. You know, we do this anyway. We do this. It's just sometimes not so clearly defined. Here it's very important that it is clearly defined, you know, because you have to know the relationship between the knowledge that you're being given, right, and the result that you want. So, and what, who do I have to be as a person? Who or what do I have to be? What are my qualifications to study this knowledge? And then how is this knowledge to be conveyed? And if it is conveyed, what is the result that it's going to give? And what is the connection between the knowledge that is to be conveyed and the result? So these fourfold factors are called the anubandha chatushtayam. Anubandha really means that which connects, or that which binds together. So what binds me or connects me with the subject matter? What connects me, what binds me or connects me to this pursuit? What gives me the pravritti? What makes me want to do this? What is impelling me to do this? So this chatushtya, the word chatushtya means a group of four. Anubandha, what are the four things that I need to understand if I'm going to know whether or not I want to be engaged in this, in the study? And so this, what we call anubandha chatushtya, is something that is going to be dealt with always, you know, in the initial part of a text, because you have to know what you're doing and if you want to do it. And also, often the Shruti will tell some sort of a story to excite you, to impel you into wanting to study it, and also to making you understand that Anubandha Chatushtiya, the Anubandha Adhikari, qualified student, the Vishya, the actual subject matter, the Prayojana, the result that I'm going to get out of it, and then the Sambandha, the connections. Okay, so these things need to be known. And so every text will go about it in its own way, but the way that the Mundaka Upanishad begins is by making you aware of the lineage, the sampradaya, the teaching tradition, taking the teaching tradition itself back to Ishwara. Okay, so we'll just chant it. I'll talk a little bit about it, and then we'll do more of this next week. So let's look at the first verse, just so that we can have one. This Upanishad has really no swaras, and so there's a certain way that sometimes it's chanted, so I'm going to do that. But there are no swaras for it. Om Brahma Devanam Patamas Sambhava. Maybe I'll do less. Om Brahma Devanam. Om Brahma Devanam Pratamas Sambhava. Pratamas Sambhava. Vishwasya Karta. Vishwasya Karta. Bhuvanasya Gopta. Bhuvanasya Gopta. Sabrahma Vidyam.
Sabrahma Vidyam.
Sarva Vidya Pratishtam. Atharvaya Jeshta. Atharvaya Jeshta. Putraya Praha. Putraya Praha. So, Om. Brahma. Brahma here means Brahmaji. Brahmaji means Ishwar as the one who manifests the creations. We'll see that in a minute. Brahma, Devanam Pratamaha, who was the first, Pratamaha, among the gods, Devanam Pratamaha. Brahma, Devanam Pratamaha. Brahma, Brahmaji, who was Pratamaha, the first of the gods, Sampabhuva, came into being. Vishwasya Karta. He is the Karta of the Vishwa, of the creation. The Vishwasya Karta, the creator of the creation, the maker of the creation. Vishwa means the entire creation. Vishwasya Karta. Bhuvanasya Gopta. And the protector of the creation, everything that has come into being, everything that has been now. The Gopta is the protector. Sa Brahmavidyam, he, Brahmavidyam, this teaching, this knowledge, Vidyam, Brahmavidya, this knowledge of Brahman, this Brahmavidya, Sarvavidya Pratishtam, which is the most exalted, there's a couple of meanings here, but for now, Sarvavidya Pratishtam, that which is the basis, the most exalted, the very strength, Sarvavidya, of all knowledges. So we can take Pratishtam here to be initially most exalted, Sarvavidya, of all the knowledges. So Brahmaji, who was the first of all of the gods who came into being, Vishwasya Karta, the author, the creator of the universe, and the protector of all that has been created, that Brahmaji, he taught Brahmavidya, this knowledge of Brahman, which is really the basis, the most exalted of all knowledges. He taught that Praha means he said, but he said well. Said well means he taught it so that it could, until it was completely understood. That's what we mean by praha. You tell it so that it is understood. So he told it in this way, so that it was complete and to be completely understood. What did he tell? This Brahmavidya, which is the most exalted, the very pedestal, the very basis of all knowledges, of all the knowledges that there are. He taught this to Atharva. Who is Atharva? Jeshtaputra, to his eldest son, Atharva. So that's the verse. He taught it to his eldest son, Atharva. Okay, we'll unfold this next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.